sê dit nou amper elke Vrydag aand. Maar mens ontmoet soveel interessante mense met wie mens gesels hier op die week se punt. En vanaand is nie uitsondering nie. Dis net interessant hoe die Here werk om mense by jou uit te bring om vir jou te hulle kant van die of hulle geskiedenis, hulle verhaal met ons te deel. En interessant genoeg, ons het nou die laaste paar weke met Dave Woods gepraat. Hy's Amerikaner. Hy doen baie groot werk in vir die Here hier in Afrika. Ons het met gaste van uit Australië gesels wat hier gekuier het. En dan het ons vanaand ook die voorreg om met 'n man te praat wat ek dink ook 'n baie interessante lewe lei. En vir ons 'n bietjie meer gaan vertel oor wat hy vir die Here doen. En dit is nogal 'n interessante gesprek. Julle moet gerus ingeskakel bly. And it's my privilege to welcome Beaver Eller. He'll tell us just now where that name comes from. Beaver, welcome here to AWR Afrikaans. It's a privilege to have you with us. And I see you brought somebody with you.
Yes, I'm very excited to introduce my son, Benjamin. He's 13 years old and he's joining us here live in the studio.
Hello, Beaver. You can say hello to the listeners.
Hi.
Not Beaver, sorry, Benjamin. Little Beaver.
Yes.
Call him Little Beaver tonight. Beaver, I always start my program or my interview with a little bit of history about my guest. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? Where were you born? Where did you see the light?
So I was born in the state of Montana, so right near here, just across the ocean. and then my dad was a tree planting contractor, and so every winter we would be in the state of Georgia, which is across the United States. And we have a blueberry farm in Montana. He used to do honeybees, kind of a hippie, some people might say. And so I was born in a camp trailer, one of those things that people pull behind their truck to go camping in.
We call it a caravan.
Okay, a caravan. Thank you. I was born in one of those. And my parents liked the Leave It to Beaver show. And there's also beavers in the lake in front of our house. And so all my siblings and I are named after animals and birds. And I got the name Beaver.
So it's not a nickname. It's your
real name.
Real Christian name. What are the names of your siblings?
So my older brother is named Buckley, like a buck.
Buckley.
Fauna, like a fawn.
Yeah.
Phoebe, which is an eastern bird. And Shama is a Malaysian bird.
Interesting. Sure, that's very interesting. I'm married to a Buckley woman.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a link. And you grew up on the farm.
Yes, I grew up on the farm doing blueberries, honeybees, and then I was homeschooled, all of my siblings and I. And so we helped a little bit with the tree business, but not much. Mostly we were doing school and just helping on the farm.
Now, you were born in an Adventist home, which is one step easier to becoming or to being an Adventist. But when in your life did you decide to follow Jesus?
That's a good question. There was a pastor and his wife that we had. You might have heard of Jay and Eileen Lantry. They wrote a number of books, including Stop, Look, and Listen, some of the Hall of Faith series. And they were our pastor when I was young. They had been missionaries around the world and just really inspired me to want to serve God and to make a decision myself to follow him.
So it was a definite decision. It wasn't gradual that you become, you go to church every Sabbath. The next step is then to be baptized. Mm-hmm. But obviously you have to make that decision to be baptized.
Absolutely.
And that's what you did. But it helps when you grow up in a religious home.
Definitely.
Especially a Christian home. And if that foundation is set in stone, then it's easier for you to carry that over into your adult life, where it's an automatic process. You're now an adult, you're a religious person, you're in the church, and you teach that to your children as well.
Yes.
Talking about children, but before we get to the children, you married?
Yes, I am. I have a lovely wife going on 22 years. Her name is Rebecca. She was born in Texas, raised in Montana, and we met in Tennessee.
Sure.
Across the country.
All over the country.
All over.
And what does she do? When you met her, what did she do?
Yeah, we met in nursing school. We both did ER nursing for about 10 years. And then we were doing a mission project in Mongolia between China and Russia. Mm. And we were working on starting an aviation project there, but the laws kept changing and God closed the doors for that aspect of work there. So I went back to school to become a nurse practitioner and specialized in family and adult gerontology, which is more kind of emergency type medicine.
Okay.
And so then after starting to have children, then she started homeschooling our kids, which became her primary work. But then she also has done a food blog. She does different outreach projects. She's a very talented lady. So
and creative to do all that. Your other children, how many children do you have? Three.
So I have three. The oldest is 16, a girl. And then Benjamin, my son, is 13. And then Liberty is 11.
Liberty.
And they're in Zambia with mom right now.
Oh, that's a interesting name as well. Now, so you've been nursing sick people, you've been healing, carrying them through the healing process. Anything interesting that you can mention there that happened in your life with these patients that you cared for? Testimony maybe?
Yeah, my brother and sister and I all graduated together from nursing school at Southern Adventist University. So that was a great experience. But one experience comes to mind. I was approached by a former patient of mine in the emergency room, and she came up to me and said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "I remember your face, but I don't remember." I intentionally don't try to remember things about people because some things you don't want to remember. But I remembered her face, and she said, "Well, you took time to pray with me when I was a patient of yours, and it changed my life. So now I'm here helping a friend of mine that's going through the same situation that I was going through at the time." Wow. So it's really an incredible opportunity. I think in emergency medicine, my wife and I did firefighting and I did pre-hospital ambulance and stuff. It's a real incredible opportunity as Christians to minister to people in their time of greatest need. And so it's been really fun working in the ER and the urgent cares to be able to pray with people, be able to share books with people, and to see God change people's lives.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you are doing not just physical care, but also emotional,
yes,
religious care, if I can call
mental,
it that.
Mental, spiritual,
yeah, spiritual,
the whole aspect. Mm. You really, I think if you're only thinking about the physical aspect of your patient, you're doing a disservice to them. Yeah. Because the body is just a small part. Really, the brain and the spiritual care is I feel, more critical to their health than their physical.
Yeah. Your patients, are they all religious people, Christians, Adventists? Is that
no.
They're all great.
Because yeah, working in trauma hospitals and stuff around the U.S.
Anybody from all sorts of, all sections of life somehow happen there or happen to stumble upon you.
Yes. Not usually by their choice.
No. Some bad accident normally.
Oh, yes.
But it's interesting how people are so much more willing to listen to prayers when they're in a situation like that.
Absolutely.
Are willing to pray with you, even if they're not that religious. And how tough times force people to pray.
Absolutely.
Which is... maybe sometimes God uses a bad experience to get you back on your knees.
Yep. Well, as you look at history, we can see how many times throughout life people come to God through some difficult experience that they have. And people are much more receptive to the gospel when they realize that maybe their life isn't invincible.
Mm-hmm. And we always have that example of the thief on the cross next to Jesus when he said, "Please think of me when you go, when you're in paradise."
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what you've done, what sins you commit, God will forgive you if you just ask.
That's
it's
so
that
true.
Easy. And then follow him. You can be a murderer, you can be a drug addict, gangster, anything that you do wrong. God will change you.
Yeah, the Bible even says that those that are forgiven much love much in return. Mm. So I think it's an incredible testimony that people can have when they come from those experiences and get to know Jesus and the forgiveness and the grace that he shows.
Yes. Amen. Now, how long have you been doing nursing?
So, graduated in 2001. I was an emergency medical technician, EMT, before that, 96. And so, since 2001 until now, I've been working in healthcare, nursing, nurse practitioner.
And that's, 24 years?
Yeah, a couple of days.
Yeah, and a couple of days and some hours. That's a commitment. I mean, that's a calling. It's not something, well, let's try nursing, you know.
Yeah.
You have to. And I'm sure you see a lot of serious injuries, bad stuff that make you turn your stomach. But you just have to grin and bear it and do it.
I think in those situations, it's really having that strong Christian background, that relationship with Jesus is what really helps you to get through those times.
Yeah.
I've had many friends working in pre-hospital, fire, EMS, that become alcoholics because of the trauma that they experience. You know, you see your buddy that gets killed or some family member or friend, and it's very difficult for them. So for me, having a relationship with Jesus, having a wife and children that are a good support system has really made it a much easier experience.
And that's what's so astonishing about a Christian, a follower of Jesus, of that relationship that you have with Jesus, is that you just said there's a lot of trauma that you see. People go and become alcoholics because they can't handle it. But it's amazing how God helps one through work through these trauma,
amen,
situations that you see daily, and you go to bed with it in your head sometimes, and then you can just relax and put everything in God's hands, and it washes off you, call it that. It's just fantastic. People go through very traumatic experiences sometimes. Doesn't necessarily mean sickness or accidents or whatever. And the fact that you are a believer and you trust God, how he carries you through that. A lot of people experience that. That's wonderful. I can relate to that.
Something else that I find for those that might be listening that are maybe experiencing some traumatic thing, having that relationship and spending time in prayer and the study of God's word is critical. Another thing that I find to be helpful, and if you look at the studies on depression, also helpful in the studies on depression, there's a lot of people experiencing depression now, but physical activity is one of the most important things in overcoming depression. Being like physically exercise, active, walking, exercise, or, yeah, walking, getting outdoors, fresh air. So those are all things that have helped me to cope with those traumatic situations. Doing things with my wife, we go walking every morning. Have time to pray and study God's word. And those are critical for mental health, especially in the world today, because we see the depression rates going out the roof.
Sky high.
Yeah.
We had a guest on the program once who talked about depression and how it's such a serious sickness in this world.
Very serious.
It's probably one of the top diseases where if you take numbers into account, a lot of people are depressed and they can't cope with it,
and many of them are afraid to talk about it because a lot of people perceive it as a taboo, you know, a topic that is a weakness. So it's really good for people to understand what it is and how you can deal with it, not just taking medications. That's the way mainstream medicine treats a lot of things, is with a pill. That's the way they're taught. But when we look at the research, there's so many different aspects of this that aren't being taken care of. And the medicines can sometimes help, and sometimes they hurt. And that's actually how we ended up in Zambia.
We'll get to Zambia. And it's also interesting how many young people commit suicide.
Hmm.
School children.
Yep.
Because they can't handle pressure or bullying or
yes,
emotional issues in their lives. And they think that's the easy way out. But we all know that it's not ideal. That's not what one should do. You have to turn to God for healing.
And that's where it's important, I think, for us as adults is being available for people that need someone to talk to. Letting people know that it's okay to come and discuss this and be able to help them through it. And us understanding something about it can help.
And that's why it's so important to talk to somebody.
Yes.
Once you've actually started talking to somebody about your problems, you already feel better.
Absolutely.
At least there's a ear that's listening to my problems, my whatever's causing this depression in my life. And the more you talk about it, the better you start feeling. That's what I believe. And then obviously, if you can focus on God and become a serious religious person, it will also help you a lot.
Yeah, having a biblical counsel. Because there's lots of counsel out there that's not biblical.
Yes.
And it can be dangerous.
Just have another pill. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, I'll give you two.
Yes.
And that causes other serious problems in your health.
Definitely.
You mentioned Zambia. What's happening in Zambia?
So about 2.5 years ago, a friend of ours actually committed suicide. And through that situation, God allowed us to get out of our mortgage, out of debt. And we had been praying for a while about where God wanted us to go. We wanted our kids to be involved in ministry. Mm. So we had done some short-term trips to Belize and Mexico and built churches and worked with my sister and her husband that have a school in Belize. And then we reached out to different friends and family and said, hey, we're interested in getting more involved in ministry more full-time. And our friends here in Zambia, the director of the farm, his name is Craig Harding. They reached out and said, yeah, we need somebody to direct our wellness center and to do medical work in the villages around the area, and you should come. And so God opened the doors, one miracle after another, for us to come to Zambia. And it's been an incredibly amazing experience, lots of challenges. But through those challenges, we've seen God's hand at work. So it's been a blessing.
I think the more involved you are in God's work, the more miracles you experience in your life or see around you, because what you do in your service to God, you work under people that has never heard of you, had bad experiences in their lives. And talking to them about the love of Jesus and what he did for us, and if they convert, it's just fantastic what a person like that's life is changing.
Absolutely. No, it's an incredible thing. Mm. I think one of the most beautiful things that we can experience in life is being involved in introducing someone to Jesus.
Yes. That is probably the best gift you can give to somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is your task or your job at the farm?
So I direct the Wellness Center. It's called Riverview Wellness Center. We actually have a session starting next week. My wife is going to be helping with, so I'm thankful for her. And we take up to about 8 guests at a time, and we do hydrotherapy, massage therapy, education, cooking demonstrations, physical activity, hydration. We do a medical evaluation to make sure that they don't have underlying conditions that would make it unsafe for them. And within a week, we'll see people's blood sugar go from 22 down to normal.
Sure.
So very high down to normal. And it's an incredible thing to watch how quickly people feel better just using a healthy diet, healthy lifestyle. But unfortunately in the world today, our education and our media doesn't teach us about health. It teaches us do what feels good, what tastes good. And that's oftentimes not best for our health.
Definitely not, no. It's nice to have a bit of chocolate and you might feel good for a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
but is it good for you?
Or Coca-Cola every day.
Yes, all that sugar, no. That's a fact. I mean, commercials are aimed at promoting a specific fast food outlet or
yes,
specific foods or drinks or cigarettes or liquor, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's all things that are bad for our bodies. It can't be healthy to eat McDonald's every day. I wish my children would hear that.
You might have heard of Supersize Me.
Yeah.
The documentary.
Yeah, that movie.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic that there are these, let's call them health farms, but the Christian-based base that, you do diets and good food,
really lifestyle, healthy food, and stuff.
You change your lifestyle, but more important, you bring the religious aspect into
absolutely
it as well.
Without that,
why
are we doing it?
Yeah.
If
you can
our
give
only
somebody
goal
a healthy diet
is to make people physically healthy, then why are we wasting our time?
No. What about the spiritual health?
Yeah, if we're not reaching, if we're not considering the spiritual and emotional health, I feel it's a waste of time.
Yeah, so you must have had a few people going through the health form in your 2.5 years there.
Yes, some lovely people from multiple parts of the world, mostly from Zambia, but we get people from all over.
Is it?
So we have devotion morning and evening. I share books with them about, like, from Pavel Goya, In the Spirit and Power, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder. And it's just stories. It's experiences people have with God. So you can't argue with someone's personal experience.
No.
You can argue theology, but not my experience with Jesus.
No. That's right. And how long do they stay there for?
So we have a week-long option or a 10-day option. And they can choose whatever works for their schedule.
You've mentioned you brought down sugar levels or
blood sugar.
Blood sugar levels. What other diseases do they come there?
So pretty much any disease you can imagine, including, I would say, probably the most common are what they call BP in Zambia, hypertension, sugar, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, general wellness, depression and anxiety. We've been seeing more of those. We use some of Dr. Neil Nedley's program from the States in helping people with depression. Some people there just for weight loss, people with kidney problems, liver problems. I mean, the list goes on.
Have you had serious cancer patients?
We have had quite a number of cancer patients, and we don't claim to treat cancer. But if you look at the documentary called Forks Over Knives or another one called The Game Changers, we see that most of the cancers in the world are very much related to our diet and lifestyle. And so people do oftentimes see reduction in size of tumors and that type of thing just with a change. But usually those changes take a little bit longer to see.
Yeah, I'm sure. Then 10 days might not be enough. But you also send them home with recipes. And
yes,
they now have the knowledge to do what you did to them on their own.
And we have people, one guest that communicates with me here and there, just says it changed his life. He came in with a blood sugar that was sky high. And, you know, he's a very busy, affluent person. And it's hard to eat healthy when you're that busy. But he changed his diet and his lifestyle, and he's doing great. And doesn't have to feel sick and be on medications for the rest of his life.
My next question is aimed at Benjamin. How does it feel to live in Africa, Benjamin?
Well, it's different than I was used to, but I like it, and I like going out into villages, helping people, sharing Jesus with them, doing medical outreaches, and I think it's really cool.
Do you take part in the outreaches?
A lot of times, yes, but sometimes when I'm doing homeschool, I can't.
Yeah.
So.
And your dad mentioned something about get his children involved in the spreading of the gospel. What do you want to do with your life after graduating from school?
Well, I want to become a pilot and then maybe like go somewhere where they need more aircraft to fly people and share the gospel with them in like villages deep in the jungle that they can only get by plane or helicopter.
Okay, well, you've got a captured audience there, so while you're flying them, you can do a short sermon, and they can't walk out of it. That would be a very good idea. I'm going to find out from your father in a few years' time if you're doing it. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Now, Beaver, you are in South Africa now for how long?
For about almost 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
We came to put an airplane together. We shipped an airplane from the States for a mission project there at Riverside Farms. And this airplane is an amphibious plane, so it can land on land or water. And we're putting the wings back on and putting the floats back on with a team from the States and also a team here in South Africa that have been a really great experience working with them. And once we get the plane put together, then we've got to finish getting the permissions to bring the plane into Zambia and to be able to use it. We're in the process of building a bunch of schools. There'll be small kind of missionary type schools in a bunch of these villages that don't have access to education or healthcare. And then we'll use that airplane to be able to work with those schools and do medical and dental work and emergency evacuations and such.
Sure. That's a big job, big task, but it's amazing that God opened or supplied you with this tool to reach more people.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. How did it happen that you got involved in this project?
So I came to Zambia with no intent to do anything with aviation. We had sent a plane that we had over to the Philippines, and my sister and husband were using it in the Philippines, and I figured that was the end of my aviation life. And we came to Zambia to do medical work, and a group called Child Impact International, they help rescue a lot of kids from sex slavery and abuse. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'd like to reach these villages. How can we do it? And so we talked about a lot of different ideas, and they said, well, what about an airplane? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, airplanes aren't cheap.
Yes.
And they said, well, that costs quite a bit. So they said, let's do a 2-year planning phase, research, fundraising, et cetera. And 3 months later, we were buying an airplane. Oh. So we've seen God's hand at work over and over again.
Yeah, as we so often hear, God is always ready to help us if we take the first step. And He'll do anything to help us spreading the gospel.
Amen.
We in a fortunate position to reach a lot of ears all over the world through radio. We don't even have to go out of our comfort zone to get to them. To reach them, and you're a qualified pilot, so you're going to pilot the plane. Mm-hmm. You're going to reach people that was difficult to get to because of jungles and rivers and swamps and whatever. So you can't always drive there.
Right.
So you've got this incredible opportunity tool that God provided so that you can give them lectures, take ministers to them to speak to them, medicine, education, books, supplies if need be. Yep. How big is the plane?
So it's a 4-seater. It's mm-hmm. a Cessna 185. Technically it seats 6, but yeah. Practically with the floats you can seat 4. Mm. It flies in a half an hour, what might take during the dry season two days to get to some of these places. And during rainy season, some of them you can only go by boat, which can take up to a week.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. The rainy season, how severe is the weather there when it rains? Is it?
It can get pretty impressive. You wouldn't fly in that rain, but it's usually very intermittent. Hmm. And so it's easy to fly before and after, but not in that rain. Those cumulonimbus, as they call them, those thunderstorms can be very dangerous for airplanes.
Absolutely. And all that hard rain. We've had some floods here towards the end of this 2025, beginning of this year. It's amazing the power of water.
Hmm.
And you don't want to lose your airplane in a storm like that. But on the other hand, you can also go and help rescue people if they get stuck in the weather. A helicopter would be better, so maybe you can get a helicopter.
Well, there was actually somebody recently that was like, what about a helicopter? So, well, we'd have to bring another pilot because I'm not a helicopter pilot. But no, it's, they're using it in the Philippines, my sister and her husband there, and they've saved countless lives with helicopters and airplanes between all those islands and stuff there. So it's really an incredible tool that God can use. And through that, use that tool to reach people with the gospel.
Now, going back to the assembling of the plane, who's helping you out with that?
So TAM, Transville Aircraft Maintenance, is based here at Wonder Boom Airport. They've been amazing. Also, Kyle Kennedy and a couple of other friends from Washington State, and then Benjamin and then Caleb, one of our student missionaries, who's from the high school where I went. He's a pilot also in Oklahoma. So his dad is a mission aviation person for many years. And so we've got a great group of six guys here, plus the team locally.
And finances, is that all covered?
So airplanes always are needing money, as you can imagine. But God has really been providing through a group called Angel One. They've worked with us and Child Impact and Riverside Farm. It's a joint venture between the three of us to be able to have this airplane here. And God's provided through donations all over the world to help sponsor this airplane. And we're excited to see what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Because we've certainly seen him leading up to this point.
Yeah. It's so fantastic when you see all these doors opening and miracles happen. And you're excited. You sound very excited about you can't wait to see what God's going to do with this airplane for you.
Amen.
You mentioned Angel One.
Angel One is a kind of an umbrella mission aviation organization. They help with training and supporting and mentoring mission aviation groups around the world. So it's exciting to see because there's really been a drought of supporting infrastructure. You know, you've got lots of little projects just barely surviving and trying to get by. And so this is really, I feel like it's really kind of glued together a lot of these organizations and helping them realize there's other people doing this, praying for them, donations coming through them, all kinds of things. So it's really amazing to see what God's doing through them to help ministries doing aviation around the world.
It's wonderful to hear and to see people opening their purses and just give money for worthy causes. Unfortunately, whatever you do, it costs money. Mm-hmm. God provides a lot, but we also need, he works through people to help us. Because he can't give us a cash from himself. So he's got to get people to help us. He works in people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And the money just comes in for specific projects because this is going to go to spreading of the gospel, helping God's people,
Amen.
Getting new people in to become Christians. So money is a problem, and if there's anybody who's willing to sponsor this worthy project, they're welcome to get in touch with us. To fly an aeroplane is one thing, but to keep it in the air is another thing because you need fuel to do that, and fuel costs money. And I'm sure God will provide once again for that, because you have got lots to do, lots of places to visit with that. Tool and maintenance of the airplane, who's going to look after that?
So I'm an airplane mechanic, but I don't have a lot of experience in it. So there's a couple coming in June to check and see if they're going to be able to join us. So we're praying about that. He's a IA, what they call an inspection authorization. So it's the next level of airplane mechanic. He's also a flight instructor. And so we're hoping they'll be able to join us. He'll be able to do mechanics and flying, and I'll do flying and medical. And I'm excited to see how God's going to lead in that. But mechanics is always important. I'm a little bit OCD about that because I had an engine failure on takeoff years ago and totaled an airplane.
Wow.
But through that experience, we saw God leading and he protected us.
Yes.
just a minute later and we would have only been landing in trees or lake because that was where we were in Montana. But God really showed his hand of protection and divine intervention in our lives. And so it's definitely something that's critically important. You don't pull over to the side of the road and fix your flat tire.
You got to find a place where you can put it down.
Yes.
And in the jungle, it's not always easy. But luckily, you can land on water.
Yes. So that'll give us a lot more options than the standard airplane.
Yeah, and a lot of these villages are next to the river. Yeah,
right on the river.
Yeah. That's where they get their water from, and that's where they live. That's where they built their communities.
Many of them are fishing communities.
Fishing, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's what their livestock is. So it's easy to get to them. And it would be interesting to see them expecting you and to see them, the excitement when you land there. And more information, more food, more medicine, more the word of God that you're bringing to them.
Yeah, we see the excitement just arriving in a boat. And they all gather around, and we went on Sabbath. There's one church out there that they built with Riverside Farm a few years ago. And all the people gather around, and they're singing and just so excited because it really can be a life-changing experience for them.
I'm sure. It's something that they don't see every day, something that we take for granted. We see aeroplanes in the sky. We see them at the airports and the all over, and to them it's something new.
Very much.
Flying bird.
We'll have to have extra training to keep everyone a little bit away so that you don't hit somebody with the propeller when you land. You know?
Yeah. You'll hit one person and they'll know it's stay away from me. It's not something
I don't need
with.
Job security.
No. How long do you plan on staying where you are now in Zambia?
We don't know for sure, but until God leads us somewhere else. Yeah.
But you're happy there, and it's a great place to be.
Yeah, we've been very blessed. It's a big farm. Mm. They have a primary, secondary school, adult education, wellness center, a dental clinic, medical clinic, and a soap factory. And then we grow bananas, wheat, and soy as the primary crops.
So it sustains itself.
Yeah. So it's self-supporting for all the employees there. Which they have around 450 employees there on the farm.
Huge.
So it's a big operation. But it's really anywhere you go in the country of Zambia, if you talk to two or three people, you'll meet somebody that's either been to Riverside or knows people that are at Riverside.
So you're doing a great
job. It's an incredible thing. They've built one of the guys there. He's built over 1,000 churches in Zambia. And they've got Bible workers around the country. So it's an incredible thing to see how education can impact a country.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that bothers me that's also very interesting. We, missionary workers, go to your third world countries, mm-hmm. where they tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and they embrace it and they get baptized. In droves often. And then we look back at our own communities where we grow up and where we live, and in the West, the so-called developed countries, and they also need that now.
Because absolutely.
People are moving away from God by millions. And we must also reach out to them at some stage. And they've had the opportunity. A lot of them know God, know of God, but they're not interested. There's too many nice things happening in their lives. They're making money, and they don't have time for religion. And we almost have to get back to them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily you, but you doing your job in Zambia.
Us.
All of us.
Yeah.
And that's a great pity. But it's so great to see new Christians being baptized daily almost. And then you feel sorry for the ones who's heard the gospel and they're not interested. There's too many nice things in the world that they want. There's no time for religion. And as soon as it gets goes bad within their lives, then suddenly God is good enough again.
Oftentimes that's what we see. And as we look at the Bible, we see that the seed fell on good ground and sometimes it falls on stony ground.
Yes.
But we also see that when we have an experience with Jesus, just like the demoniac, when he had that life-changing experience, he wanted to be with Jesus. And yet Jesus said, I've got something bigger for you to do. And that's go home and tell your friends what I've done for you. And I think that's what our responsibility, I feel that's a big responsibility of ours working in Africa. We go back to the States in the summer to help my mom on her farm. She has a blueberry farm there. So we're there for a few months in the summer. And I think it's critical that we are taking what we learn, the blessings that God has given us, and sharing them with our friends back at home, so that they too can have an experience with Jesus. Because it's not just about going overseas, like you said. We see that a lot. I think sometimes people think, oh, it's easy because, you know, people are being baptized and you see God working, but I don't see that in my life. Well, we can see that in our life. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is it can change us and we can see that no matter where we are. So it's really important to be sharing with our friends what God's doing in our lives, not just keeping those stories to ourselves.
Yeah, not just what God does in other people's lives,
yep,
but also in your life. Because if the more you see miracles happening, people being converted to Christianity, people being baptized, it just strengthens your faith as well.
Absolutely. And on the island, we were working in Lake Tanganyika for a month doing evangelism and medical dental. And at the end, there was baptisms. I think the first year there was over 60. And there was fires breaking out around the area, spontaneous fires. Mm. So we see that when people give their hearts to God, Satan isn't happy.
No.
There was a car accident my son was in, the rollover accident, yeah. Multiple injuries. One little boy had to have surgery. We didn't know if he was going to survive.
Sure.
But through multiple miracles, God protected them. And it's life-changing for us to be able to experience those miracles in our lives. So God wants to change us.
Yeah, and you can testify about that, and you can tell others about what God has done in other people's lives. You can do that in your life too.
Amen.
You as a atheist or somebody who's never heard of God. That's fantastic. I think it's probably one of the most satisfying jobs on earth.
I believe it.
you do a life-changing work. It's like a surgeon bringing some silly example, giving you a new arm.
Yeah.
Or a retina transplant. I mean, you change your life. But that's just on earth here.
Yes.
You change somebody's life to forever. That so you can have eternal life with us.
Yeah, and that's exactly what God wants to do.
Yeah.
He wants to give us a heart transplant. We've all got hardened arteries, as we call it in the States. But God can take that and change it into a new heart.
Amen. Now, Benjamin, you're working on this, or you're living on this health farm in the African jungle. What's your favorite food there that you like?
That is a very hard question because I like food.
That's all of you.
If you're talking like food that is like normally Zambian, like they eat there a lot, probably beans and rice.
Beans and rice. Not fruit.
I love fruit too. Like lychees and all that.
Mm, lychees, oh yes. Sweet. They're sweeter than sweets. Mm. And you, what do you prefer eating?
I prefer eating anything that my wife makes because she's an incredible cook.
You know how many men say that? Sometimes in front of their wives too. I wonder.
Sometimes I get in trouble for saying that, but she can't holler at me because she is listening.
Yes.
So, but yeah, she's an incredible cook. But we do like Mexican food. My wife is part Mexican. We also like some Italian. I like fresh.
Mm.
If I don't have fresh, then I'm not eating. I'm not feeling like I'm eating, because I love fresh fruit. Mm-hmm. I love fresh vegetables. I grew up on farms, you know, so if there's fresh salads, potatoes, those kind of things, I'm happy. And I could live on fruit.
Yeah.
That's the original Garden of Eden, right?
Yes.
Is fruit. So I'm a fruitarian.
Okay. Well, that's good. Do you have access to pastas, tacos, all that where you are?
Yeah, so there's access to a lot of things that didn't used to be there in years past. But now we have like ShopRite and Pick and Pay and those stores.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
So we can go in and get even soy milk from South Africa.
Yeah. So. Mrs. Ball's chutney?
I'm sorry, I don't know
that's
that
a
one.
South African, that's a South African thing. Wherever you go overseas, you're looking for shops with Mrs. Ball's chutney.
Nice.
It's something that you pour over food. Usually made from peaches.
Oh, nice. I got to taste some the other night.
Yeah,
very good.
Okay, great. Are you close to town or village or city where you can buy all these from?
About half an hour to the closest town with stores. There's a little vegetable market 10 minutes away where we can get like tomatoes and cabbage and stuff. Mm. And then about 2 hours to Lusaka.
Okay, Lusaka. So you're not too far. That's your main, the closest that's, main city.
Yeah, and that's the capital city.
Yeah, yeah. People who are interested to go there for health reasons, how do they get in touch with you? Are you obviously have a website.
So we do have a website, the Riverview Wellness Center, riverviewwellness.org, or you can reach out to me. I have a WhatsApp number, so people can reach out to me or my team. Or Riverside Farm Institute, and we get people set up that want to come and learn more about health and experience the beauty of the abundant life that God wants for us.
Yes.
John 10:10 says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I ask people, have you ever been robbed? And many people have. Mm. And then you have to ask, would you be willing to give it away intentionally? Because that's what we're often doing with our health. We're making life choices that are giving away our health, paying somebody to take our health. And so it's really
true. That's a nice
crazy
analogy, yeah.
But we can experience health and not have to feel sick for the rest of our lives. Mm. So many people that I take care of feel sick. They're alive.
From eating
they're taking
their own
medicine
food, yeah,
that keeps them alive, but they feel bad for their whole life. That's a terrible way to live.
Yeah, can't be nice. That verse that you quoted, is that your favorite Bible verse, or do you have something else? Oh, you've got so many.
I have so many. I've been working more on scripture memorization because I feel like God commanded us, not just a recommendation, but he told us to write it in our hearts, in our minds. So the last few years, I've been really working on memorizing more scripture. So there's so many great verses. One of my favorites, so would be Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what God wants us to do. He wants to have a relationship with us. And that's just an incredible thing that the Creator cares that much about me.
Yeah. The master of the creator of the universe, the ruler of it all, wants us to love him, and because he loves us so much.
I was just about to ask. I mean, into missionary, but someone is listening. They are inspired. What would you tell them? What advice could you give them?
To become a missionary or to become a health worker? Both.
I think both go hand in hand. But I think two things that would be the top priorities. Number one is spending time in God's Word. And number two is spending time in prayer. Because as we do those things, we get to experience God in our lives. If we're not doing those things, then what are we going to tell people about? And so we see that's where God can change us, is when we're willing to spend time in a relationship with him. I don't know how many people maybe are married or have children, but if we don't spend time with that family member, that spouse, that child, we're not going to have a good relationship. And so it's critical that we spend time in prayer and the study of God's word and really memorizing God's word, because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So if we want to experience victory in our lives, Jesus used it. And if it's good enough for Jesus, I think it better be good enough for us.
Absolutely. Sure. Now, is there a language issue?
Yes. Their primary language is English.
Yes.
There's about 72 other languages. I think it's 7 or 8 primary languages. Mm. And so my nurse that works with me in the wellness center, he's been a blessing because he speaks all the local languages. And then also a couple of my lifestyle counselors speak the local languages. So that's a huge help when we go out into the villages to do medical work and dental work.
Okay, that helps a lot.
Major.
I think one last question. Who or what inspires you to do what you do? Hmm.
I think God is the true inspiration in life. But I've also been very inspired. The Bible is the critical one, right? But I've also been very inspired by Pavel Goya. He has some YouTube sermons and a couple of books that we've read. One's called In the Spirit and Power. And then another one is Don McLafferty. He has some books. One is called God Still Lives Even When You Wonder. And I think that's a question a lot of people are asking in their lives. Does God really exist? Can I trust him with my life? Can I have a relationship with him? And that's some of the things that he talks about in those two different books is how can I have a practical Christian experience? Mm. Because I'm not saved by your choices or my parents' choices. Yes. It's my choices. And if I don't know God, how do I make that decision?
That is a question that you have to ask yourself. I think I'll sneak in another question for Benjamin. What do you do to keep yourself busy if you're not? Do you have hobbies? Do you have something interesting that you do?
Well, I have a lot of friends on Riverside, so I enjoy hanging out with them, and I like dirt biking, and basically anything that involves moving.
Okay.
Like driving.
Driving and flying. Uh-huh. You're going to take over from your father and flying that aeroplane when you're old enough.
Maybe.
If that is what you want to do. Well, Bivi, it was quite interesting to speak to you, to have this interview and incredible work that you do. It's such an interesting life you've had and how God made your life interesting so that you can work for him and serve him. And you're doing a great job there. Also, good luck with the aeroplane project. I'm sure it will be off. It will take off soon.
Yes, by God's grace.
No pun intended.
So it's hard to stay grounded.
Yeah. No, you can't with that tool, with that instrument that God's given you.
Yes.
And may you feel his blessing and your family. For what you're doing for him, and good luck with all the projects that you're still going to be busy with.
We're very blessed, and we're thankful that we could come and spend the evening with you guys.
No, it was
May God bless you and your work
fun,
here as well.
No, thank you very much. And hopefully when you're in South Africa, you've got my number, let us know, then we can have a follow-up
that'd be amazing.
Conversation about what the aeroplane has done for you. For your ministry in Zambia.
Wonderful. And when you come to Zambia, look us up. We have a place for people to stay, some good food, and lots of bananas.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Mike.